This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Was it play nice in last night's debate between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, or more like Rock'em Sock'em Robots? They were in Cleveland, Ohio, and this was the last chance the Democratic candidates had to face each other before the big contests in Ohio and Texas. To break down the state of play, we've got Kalila Brown-Dean. She's the Peter Strauss Family Assistant Professor of Political Science and African American Studies at Yale University. Plus James Taylor. He's an Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of San Francisco. Kalila, James, welcome. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So we've seen 20 presidential debates so far with Clinton and Obama facing each other one-on-one three times. Did we learn or hear anything new from either Democratic candidate?
After 19 debates, it's difficult to conceive of any new information coming from these debates. But what I think we did learn more about during this particular debate is that Hillary Clinton is really on the offensive right now. She seems sort of tense during the debate, attacking Senator Obama or attempting to, but I don't think we had any real substantive knockouts here.
What do you think, James?
Well, I think Kalila is right that there was not a whole lot of new territory covered. I do think that Barack Obama's sort of management of the issues related to Iraq forced Hillary Clinton to all but apologize for her vote in 2002. So we did see some movement in that direction. And I think we also saw Barack Obama sort of clarify that his position on Pakistan, which everyone sort of thought was naive foreign policy, actually was validated by the current administration's recent actions in that area. So in those two areas, I do see some new material that was presented in last night's discussion.
Kalila, let's listen to a little bit of Hillary Clinton, who said that she often gets asked the first question in debates.
Well, can I just point out that in the last several debates, I seem to get the first question all the time. And I don't mind. I'll be happy to field them, but I do find it curious. And if anybody saw Saturday Night Live, you know, maybe we should ask Barack if he's comfortable and needs another pillow.
What was that all about, Kalila?
Well, you know, Senator Clinton has said numerous times that she feels that the media has been biased in favor of Senator Obama, that they sort of coddle him and treat him very differently, that she feels that she's been attacked. And I think she was expressing that in the debate last night. I think, however, that there was a way to express that concern that would have been more effective than the comment. It seemed a little awkward to say, you know, I keep getting the first question, the very difficult questions, but I'm happy to answer them. So in some ways, that contradicted the point that she was trying to make.
James, I was talking to a black female elected official, who shall remain nameless, who said that Hillary Clinton is sounding shrill and was embarrassed about it in a way. She said, I don't want to make a woman, you know, say that a woman sounds shrill, but she does. Is that something that you vibe with, or is that, you know, out of bounds?
Well, I think there's a lot of sort of misogynistic feeling out there where men probably do sort of wince at, you know, Hillary's laugh that has gotten a lot of attention lately, and her voice intonations when she sort of completes a sentence and rises to the climax where she crescendos. I think, you know, I've heard people say things that I thought are somewhat misogynistic and say that it's nail biting or like the blackboard being scratched. But, again, a lot of these issues that I think were discussed last night, I think they missed out on tremendous opportunity to talk about sort of more important issues, including, for example, the devastating housing industry. That was not discussed for 1 minute, but they talked 16 minutes about a hypothetical healthcare plan that doesn't even exist right now.
Let's listen to a little bit of back and forth the candidates had with each other regarding Louis Farrakhan's support for Barack Obama.
There's a difference between denouncing and rejecting. I just think we've got to be even stronger.
I don't see a difference between denouncing and rejecting. There's no formal offer of help from Minister Farrakhan that would involve me rejecting it. But if the word reject, Senator Clinton feels is stronger than the word denounce, then I'm happy to concede the point.
You say denouncing and I say rejecting, denouncing, rejecting. Anyway, is there a difference, James?
I don't see a big difference. I think Obama tried to distance himself. And I think what really sort of needs to be discussed is the ways in which Over the past 25 years, African-American elected officials, from Tom Bradley to David Dinkins to Harold Washington to Barack Obama, have had to sort of use Farrakhan as a litmus and as a way of sort of explaining how they would be towards, say, Israel or sort of, you know, issues of anti-Semitism in America. Barack Obama is in no way, shape, form, or fashion associated with Farrakhan, except through his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, but that's not Barack Obama's own personal relationship. William F. Buckley just died today. Robert Byrd, the senator from West Virginia, is in the hospital. John Danforth is hospitalized. Jeremiah Wright, Louis Farrakhan, John McCain, Andrew Young, they all represent a passing generation, and that Barack Obama is something new. So he has nothing to do with these old wars and conflicts.
I've even heard, though, some people say, Kalilah, that there should be a situation where Senator Obama should resign from his church because his pastor has given an award to Minister Farrakhan. Do you think that he has to go all the way there?
I think it's definitely unnecessary for him to do that. I think Senator Obama has said before that he is led by God, not led by man. And so to assume that because he worships in this church assumes that they share the same views, that everyone in that congregation agrees with the minister, in many ways, to me, undermines Senator Obama's intelligence. I think he said very pointedly last night that he did not agree with the views of Minister Farrakhan, that he had spoken out previously about anti-Semitism within black communities, and that he would continue to do so. I think he captured the moment when he said he really wants to restore that historic coalition between black and Jewish voters. And that was a way for Senator Obama to address the critique that Tim Russert posed, but to also talk about moving forward, to move past those historic wounds and battles that Professor Taylor just spoke of.
Senator Clinton also, in her closing remarks, arguably played the gender card. Let's listen to what she had to say.
Obviously, I am thrilled to be running to be the first woman president, which I think would be a sea change in our country and around the world, and would give enormous, enormous hope and, you know, real challenge to the way things have been done.
Kalilah, the H word, hope, played there. Do you think it's going to work?
I think at this point it may be a little too late for her, but I think it's also important to recognize the very sophisticated and subtle ways that gender has operated throughout this primary election cycle. From Senator Obama saying to, you know, referencing Senator Clinton, "We haven't whined about those attacks," to me is a very gendered statement. The way that people refer to Senator Clinton by her first name, as if they are, you know, girlfriends headed to the nail salon, says a lot about the importance of gender in this election. Does it mean that gender no longer matters? Does it mean that we've overcome that? Certainly not. But I think that it's a little too late for Senator Clinton to really offer that as, you know, hope for the future.
James, I want to take us, before we break this off, to another topic. Senator John McCain was in a situation where he had an event in Ohio, and there was Bill Cunningham, a radio host, who called Obama a hack Chicago-style daily politician and addressed Obama by his full name, Barack Hussein Obama. Let's take a listen to that. So Barack Hussein Obama was the phrase that was used over and over again. And there was a situation where McCain said he was told about the disparaging remarks while backstage and immediately apologized, saying he repudiated the comments. Today, Bill Cunningham said he had it with John McCain. He's joining Ann Coulter in supporting Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yeah. So is this a situation where the conservatives basically are, you know, they're saying, unless you go with us all the way to Barack Hussein Obama, that we're not going to roll with you?
Yeah, I think Barack Obama, this is really good for him. I think this is actually a blessing in disguise, that this is being done and outed and vetted now in this primary process. It really deflates its sting, potential sting, in the general election. So I think the fact that someone sort of, you know, used this sort of vitriol, deliberately coded racism on one level, and clearly religious I would say, religious sort of stigmatism on another level to try to associate Barack Obama with Islam. This actually is a good thing to let it happen now rather than it happening in the general election, so that now everyone can see how they'll respond to it. We'll see how the country will respond. We'll see how Texas and Ohio will respond, and the ways in which Barack Obama handled it. So cool, calm, and Kennedy-esque. Just, I think, is, again, a credit to his reaction, is that he didn't get caught up, his campaign didn't get caught up in reacting to this. And this is going to continue to come from Bill O'Reilly talking about lynching his wife, from Rush Limbaugh. And this is going to happen to John McCain as well as Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton.
All right. We're going to have to wrap it up there, but lots to talk about. James, Kalila, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
James Taylor is an associate professor of political science at the University of San Francisco. He joined us from the studios at UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. And Kalila Brown Dean is the Peter Strauss Family Assistant Professor of Political Science and African American Studies at Yale University. She spoke with us from the studios at Yale.